VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Still trying to connect with our guest here today, Barbara Lowe Fisher from the National Vaccine Information Center. I know she's got a lot of information wanted to share with you here today, and we'll continue to try and reach out to her in order to keep you informed on some critical issues. Up until that time, though, that we make connection, just want to pass along some issues. I know many of you are just excited about your children going back to that first day of school and so forth, and many things that have fallen together here for the beginning of the school year. And came across this today from the Better Business Bureau, that things you may not even be thinking about, but they're saying be safe when sharing back-to-school photos of your kids. With the school year starting again, social media is full of adorable back-to-school photos. Often these pictures feature a child holding a first day of school sign with basic information like their name and grade. But before you jump on the trend and snap a similar picture of your little one, they suggest that you exercise some caution. Matter of fact, they say back-to-school photo tips: avoid sharing personal details about your child. Back-to-school photos often involve kids holding a board with their full name, age, height, other details. Scammers or predators could use that information to commit identity theft or earn your child's trust. Secondly, leave off information about kids' schools. Even sharing the name of your child's school, teacher, or grade level could make them a target for unscrupulous people. Not to mention, these details are often used as security questions for banking or credit card accounts. Next, double-check your privacy settings. Review your social media accounts' privacy settings regularly. Be mindful of whom can view your posts. You may want to remove personal information from your account that others can see, such as your telephone number or address, and watch out for phony friend requests. Don't accept friend requests from strangers. Also, think twice before you accept a friend request from someone you already are connected with. It could be an imposter trying to access your information and friends list. So the Better Business Bureau has information on their website pertaining to this, and you can check it out. But for those who like putting out those wonderful pictures, still keep in mind the warnings that are coming regarding the stealing of privacy as a result. I'd like to also mention that there is a troubling story that came out here just recently. A very interesting story, and that is the U.S. life expectancy decreased to 76.1 years in 2021. This coming from the CDC and CNSNews.com. An August report released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention indicate that the average life expectancy in the United States dropped 0.9 years in 2021. The in 2021 life expectancy at birth was 76.1, declining by 0.9 years from 77.0 in 2020, states the report. The study, Provisional Life Expectancy Estimates for 2021, was published on August 31st, was written by Elizabeth Arias and along with other medical doctors degreed individuals as well. Elizabeth Arias is a PhD. Two authors defined life expectancy as birth as the average number of years a group of infants would live if they were to experience throughout life the age-specific death rates prevailing during a period. So very interesting information that has gotten there as U.S. life expectancy drops now for the second year in a row. And many have commented just the number of deaths that have been taking place, and certainly much tragedy, a lot of sorrow, and our sympathies extended to so many who have lost loved ones. Still not reaching with our guest here today. I do want to bring to your attention, though, some matters that are going on, and a story that came out over the weekend from WND.com about Disney going satanic, a new cartoon featuring a little girl dubbed the Antichrist. in a move that seems to stretch even for a leftist corporation that openly promotes LGBT agenda points and links itself to the body mutilations of young children through transgender ideology. A new cartoon from Disney features a little girl Antichrist. There's no more putting this off. Your dad is the devil and you're the Antichrist, the cartoon mom tells her daughter, about 13. The adult programming is called Little Demon. One of the actors who provide voicing expressed approval that it normalizes paganism. It opens with the trailer opens with a news report that the sky over the school has been torn open. A mom then drops your dad the devil bombshell on the little girl, to which she responds in kind. The online promotion, the video from Disney says, from the co-creators of Rick and Morty comes a new animated comedy, FX's Little Demon, and then asks people to subscribe to support the venture financially. And then it recites, it's been 13 years since being impregnated by Satan, and a reluctant mother, Laura, and her Antichrist daughter, Chrissy, attempted to live an ordinary life in Delaware. However, the two are constantly thwarted by monstrous forces, including Satan, who yearns of custody of his daughter's soul. Then the Gateway pundit was blunt in its assessment, with Disney continued down its path to destruction, releasing a new cartoon entitled Little Demon, and it's just as bad as it sounds. The series features demonic witchcraft, pagan rituals, gratuitous blood, gore, and nudity, and judging by the trailer, can easily be considered pornographic by definition. I'm wondering, does your impact, your viewpoint of Disney and patronage of Disney, has that been affected by all these revelations here in the past, even 12 months on the whole LGBT issue? And now here with this new satanic cartoon, that is something that many individuals are taking a look here at this time. A note of good news, and that is the schoolgirls that were kidnapped by Boko Haram Muslim terrorists from their school in Nigeria back in 2014, they have been found alive. It made world headlines when the terrorist organization took at gunpoint 276 schoolgirls hostage. Some later were recovered. Many still remain missing. Now a report in Decision magazine has documented the Christian Solidarity International News that a handful of those girls have been located in recent weeks by the Nigerian army. They are now mothers of children they've had with terrorists to whom they were married. But schoolgirls found alive 8 years after the notorious kidnapping case. Troubling indeed. There is something else that has been targeted, and on the LGBT issue, the Texas Rangers have been the only baseball team standing strong, refusing to hold a Pride Night. The Daily Signal is reporting there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that the Major League Baseball Texas Rangers have come under enormous fire from powerful LGBT groups who are not giving in and having a Pride Night, National Review's Nate Hawkman said on Washington Watch. Wait a minute, you're thinking that sounds bad. How is that good news? Well, it's good by comparison to the bad news. Every other Major League ball team, baseball team, 29 out of 30, has hosted a Pride Night, and many do so every single year. Way to go for the Texas Rangers' courageous stand against the tsunami of corporate wokeness, reports the writer for Daily Signal. Hawkman spent the last couple of weeks digging into exactly what kinds of LGBT activist groups and medical clinics that MLB franchises and teams were funding under the auspices of these LGBT themed Pride Nights. What he found makes a drag story queen hour look like Sesame Street. For 20 out of the 29 teams, these Pride Nights were funding groups that were either promoting sex changes for children as young as 12 years old or actually providing them themselves. Nothing says baseball like permanently sterilizing children. It's horrible, friends, what has been going on with Major League Baseball. I mean, it came to our city, the Milwaukee Brewers, who even had a drag night, a drag show, as part of their so-called Pride Night. But 29 of 30 teams have caved. 20 of the 29 teams, they report, are funding groups that were either promoting sex changes for children as young as 12 years old or actually providing them themselves. And only one group has withstood this, and it is the Texas Rangers. And the Rangers have been coming under great scrutiny for not caving in to the LGBT agenda. But certainly congratulations and hats off to the Texas Rangers. But friends, they are coming under great pressure at this time. Great pressure because of their not giving in to the Pride Night mentality. It's not always the case where people are standing up in this regard, because NBCChicago.com is reporting that a suburban library standing by its decision to hold a drag queen bingo night for teenagers. Downers Grove Library, hosting a drag queen bingo night, says the event is about acceptance and inclusion. Despite backlash from some community members, the Downers Grove Library says it has no plans to cancel a scheduled drag queen bingo night for teenagers later this year. Despite backlash from some community members, the Downers Grove Library says it has no plans to cancel the scheduled drag queen bingo night for teens later this year. The event, scheduled for October the 11th at the library, coinciding with National Coming Out Day. The program is for teenagers in 7th through 12th grade, will feature a drag performer named Aurora Divine, calling bingo numbers and performing songs. The library says registration is full and there's now a waiting list. The library says it's gotten lots of feedback and questions from the community about the program, but it insisted that the performance will be age-appropriate and has been discussed at length with librarians especially trained and educated to work with teens. Library Director Julie Melevec defended the scheduled program, saying representation matters. Many patrons have requested we cancel it. We do not plan to cancel Drag Queen Bingo because doing so would be negligent to our diverse community. Leslie Sadowski-Fugit, who is the parent of a first grader in the community, also supports the program, saying, quote, "I think it's a wonderful opportunity for young folks to be able to feel like they are respected. Of course, not every program is going to be for you, but there needs to be program for everyone, and everyone should feel as though they have representation." Terry Newsom, with Parents Involved in Education, says the event is not the right fit for the public library. "This is more putting in our face for political statement than for our children," he said. The library says an anonymous resident is providing the funding for the event. Officials say they are engaged in talks with Downers Grove Public, police, to be present the night of the performance. Isn't that something? To make sure that the police are there to ensure this sort of activity takes place. I mean, it's truly disgusting to see what is taking place, and to know that all the spots are filled. All the spots are filled for this, and they have a waiting list, an actual waiting list for this to take place. And the library says, we are not backing down. I see also in LifeSite News that the top U.S. library group is colluding with local librarians to sneak LGBT content into the kids, it looks like to the kids section. They published in Maryland Library's tips to infiltrate conservative communities with LGBT programs. When backlash mounted, the American Library Association scrubbed her name as the author. Very interesting indeed. This is coming out of Lexington Park, Maryland. Let me share more with you after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how are stars formed?
Chris, evolutionists say that each star condensed out of interstellar clouds of gas. But think about it. How could this happen? Remember, space is a vacuum, and gas in a vacuum would be sucked out in all directions. How could this gas become so dense that it would collapse by its own gravity? The pressures pushing it out would far exceed the gravitational pressures inward. There have been a number of evolutionary suggestions to get the process started, but all of them start with stars in the beginning. They say that a nearby exploding star might send out a pulse of energy that would condense a cloud of gas, but the question is, where did the stars come from in the first place? Not how do stars in rare circumstances form other stars? The Bible says that God created stars on day 4 of creation week, and the evidence fits that back to Genesis truth.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
Well, we're going to have to reconnect with our guests for another Crosstalk program, and so we apologize. It's an area beyond our control here at this point, but certainly there is much taking place as it relates to this assault on the family here today, and it's coming in many different forms, and certainly as we are seeing matters like a suburban library holding by its decision to hold Derrick Queen, we got a waiting list taking place. We have seen all the baseball, Major League Baseball teams except the Texas Rangers cave to the LGBT agenda with so-called Pride Month taking place. Certainly troubling as to what is taking place there. And then we have the American Library Association. This from LifeSiteNews.com. The ALA website has scrubbed the author's name from an article in which a Maryland librarian describes ways children's librarians can sneak LGBT content and activities into libraries located in conservative rural areas. Librarian Tess Goldwasser's name apparently was recently removed from the ALA article after national pressure began to be billed against a drag queen story hour planned next week for a local branch within the St. Mary's County Library System, where Goldwasser works as an assistant branch manager of youth services. When Personhood Alliance's Maryland affiliate, local activist Georgia Kajewski, submitted a letter to the editor of the Enterprise about the upcoming Drag Queen Story Hour to be held in the Lexington Park Library near her home, she cited this article from the ALA by Goldwasser. Well, the editor replied that there was no way to prove that she had authored the piece. They had pulled the name, but the matter is that the matter of placing in places throughout the library, I mean, the instruction suggesting children's librarians sneakily include LGBT materials. The article began, "Do you work for a library in a small, rural, conservative community? Do you wish you could do more to make your library inclusive to the LGBTQIA+ community, but meet with resistance?" The LGBT advocating librarian then offered tips and tricks to begin a secret librarian advocate operative with the clearly stated ultimate goal of introducing drag queen story hours in currently resistant communities. Tactics like this: sneakily fit stuff into current programs so you're not doing drag queen story time, but you're probably doing regular old story time, right? Try to sneak inclusive messages into your current programs. For instance, if you're reading a book about a mama bear and a papa bear, maybe when you read it, just change it to be about two papa bears. Also, creatively encourage inclusive collection development and firmly defend LGBT items in your collection. Find out the best way to reach your library's acquisitions specialist and then request LGBT books, movies, and music, anything that's received positive reviews or been listed on top 100 list or won awards, in order to move easily, justify the presence of LGBT materials on library shelves. And then invite LGBT community partners. Your local library branch may not be ready for any kind of LGBT programming yet, but there doesn't mean that these programs can't still be held in your library. If your library has meeting space, reach out to groups like your local PFLAG chapter or local schools' LGBT student groups and let them know that they can hold meetings and host programs at your library. According to the local newspaper, that last suggestion is the precise tactic employed to get Drag Queen Story Hour into the Lexington Park Library. Though the event will be held at the library, Michael Blackwell, director of the library system, has said that the group known as Southern Maryland Area Secular Humanists is sponsoring the event using its nonprofit status. Blackwell said the library system is only providing the room per its rules and standards for leaving its meeting rooms open for public use. It's being sponsored by this group, that's the Southern Maryland Area Secular Humanist, along with PFLAG or Leonardtown. Over 100 children currently signed up by their parents to attend the Drag Queen Story Hour event, according to the same report. Friends, we're seeing this constant assault taking place on children. It's taking place, and it's coming under many, many different venues today, and we're finding that the whole LGBT indoctrination aspect and the pushing of this lifestyle and the secretly placing of books in the children's library, to find ways to get this implemented. I mean, it is very troubling to see what is taking place. And then the auspices of Disney, who have incorporated this into their pictures. And though they will pull it for a country, a foreign country that says, no, we're not going to allow this to take place. But yet parents across America with open arms are introducing this into their homes, into their streaming services, through the movie theaters, into the local public library with hardly batting an eye. I'm going to open our phone lines here today and get your reaction to these issues. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. You may recognize, again, that the Texas Rangers have much pressure coming against them by LGBT activist groups for them to cave and also to host a Pride Night in at their stadium. Your thoughts on that particular issue. Also, just want to find out on the matter of have your habits changed, your attitude toward Disney, into whether it's that of attending theme parks or that of subscribing to their services. Has that been influenced by their promotion of the LGBTQ agenda? Has that been impacted now with this new cartoon featuring a little girl who is being dubbed the Antichrist? The Antichrist? And certainly the impact that this is having. This girl is about 13 years old. Who do you think they're marketing to with things like this? So we'll get your reaction to these issues here today on Crosstalk. By the way, we understand through Breitbart that there is a brand new bisexual cannibal film called Bones and All. Bones and All. They showed it at the Venice Film Fest. I'm not going to go into any details of this, but only to say this, that after this movie was shown, this bisexual cannibal film, you can imagine what's all a part of this, it had a standing ovation that lasted for 8.5 minutes. 8.5 minutes. We understand that is, I don't know if it was the longest and most enthusiastic of the festival so far, an 8.5 minute standing ovation featuring this film, Bones and All, that is a bisexual cannibal film. Let's get your reaction to these issues here today. We're going to begin in River Falls, Wisconsin. And Zach, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hi. So I talked to my pastor a couple of years ago about a lot of social issues, like the issue of life, marriage, creation, reparations. The Bible talks about all these issues.
Yes.
And I told him, I said, we need to push back against this. We're just letting these lies just eat up our society. He didn't really seem to think that any of these things really needed to be talked about. I just see there's a lot of old people always in church, people that are usually about 60-plus years old. I don't see a lot of our young, much for young families. And if we don't say, hey, what's going on? Why don't we have young people sitting in church? We got to ask ourselves, why are we losing these people?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's not going to be a church left. And it's just been very frustrating.
You know, in many a home, sadly, Zach, we've got the children who are allowed to make the decisions for the parents rather than vice versa. Parents are instructed to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What's that, Johnny? You don't want to go to church today? Well, we haven't been there in 3 weeks. Okay, maybe next week. I mean, how many times are parents caving into their children in what they like and what they don't like, and rather than the parents bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And it is a critical issue. And if our churches are not going to speak out on this, Zach, who will?
Right, right.
Thanks for the call today.
Yep, no problem.
Bye-bye now.
Goodbye. Yep,
we've got Mike in Somerset, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up, I used to live in Wisconsin, and I wanted to bring up that Community First in the Green Bay area is sponsoring a new Pride event, new Pride Festival at the Brown County Fairgrounds. And we actually have some income there at their, I should say, some savings at Community First Credit Union. We're taking our money out. We've called around and we found a community, or I'm sorry, we found somebody else that does not support this type of issue, that they're more family oriented. And so we're taking all of our money out of that Community First Credit Union and moving it to the new facility. And this is how we have to fight back. You take your finances and put it where your values are. Do not continue to support these people that are destroying our country and destroying our families.
And does the credit union that you're moving out of, do they know the reason why you're leaving?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. Well, that would be important for them to know that, because if you just take that action without telling them why you're doing it, it will not have the same effect as if they know the reason behind your decision.
No, I understand that, Jim. We just barely found the spot that we want to move it to. We haven't done it yet, but we are doing it this week, and we will definitely tell them that they do not represent our values.
Mike, thank you for the call today. Dean is next, Muskego, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, I mean, is there these public libraries, they're part of our government, are they not? I mean, government office is basically, can we as a community call our local politicians and voice our outrage as to what's taking place in public, you know, buildings?
You know, I'm not sure how it works in every state across the country. I believe it in our state is it falls under the auspices of one of the state offices. I believe it may be the superintendent of public instruction, perhaps. Don't quote me on that, but some of them that you just have to look what the structure is. Some, though, have library boards that you're able to reach out to. We've just been talking to a situation going up in northern Wisconsin right now where they have been doing this, systematically placing LGBTQ books into a small community library. And many times we have that attitude, you know, we're just a small community, we're safe here. But there is a clandestine effort, as evidenced through this article here, that the plan is for an individual to get into a position where they can introduce these books throughout the library. So your library probably has a library board, at which point you can call up your county, as a county office library board, and find out who is on it and start making phone calls to them and find out who it is that they are accountable to, who governs them, and work up the ladder that way.
Right, yeah. And like, we didn't need any more proof that, you know, Satan's at work in all of this, and you know, now they're doing it by deception. That's just all more proof that.
And isn't that the hallmark of the enemy? I mean, deception, deceived,
amen.
And being deceived. He is the mass.
He's got his claws into this. So
he is a mass deceiver. And thank you so much for the call here today. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is what's taking place with these young minds. And parents who are dragging their kids to the drag queen story hours, it's outrageous that they are doing this. And certainly as parents, to bring our children up in the ways of God, there is a right, there is a wrong, there is male, there is female. And certainly one is created as XX or XY chromosome. And friends, no matter what we can do, no matter what we do, we can't change that scientific, biological fact. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Crosstalk as we know it began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Mike Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America, and kind of developed the topic here today as to the attack that's going on against the family and moral values here today. And just recently, so much unfolding. Just recently, the article coming out about a new Disney cartoon featuring a little girl dubbed the Antichrist. I mean, going satanic. Is this impacting your decisions, your viewing, your patronage, your involvement in taking that trip to Disney World or streaming services or whatever it may be? And that's on that issue. How does that impact local businesses that are promoting this? Here we had the story take place as to the Texas Rangers, the only ball club that has stood up and refused to hold a Pride Night. Well, we'll get your reaction to these issues here today. Let's continue on. Holding the longest is John in Cookeville, Tennessee. John, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your program. My comment was simply that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall return. And although I do not like the increase in the LGBTQ community and all of the programs that they are promoting, it does remind me that God's return is very near,
and
I'm happy for that.
Yeah, indeed, and all the more urgent for us to get out the good news of the gospel in such a time as this.
And yes, and for me and everyone else to clean up our act if we need to.
Yeah. Every man
thank
you for the call. And that's what it talks about in 1 John. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We have Chris calling next from, is it Williamstown, Kentucky?
Yes, it is. Down here where they built that ark.
Okay, very good. Thanks for calling,
Chris. Matter of fact, I can see it from my house right now.
Oh, okay? Tremendous. You got a great view.
Yes, I do. I've been there several times. But you were talking about Disney. Disney's been going downhill for years.
Yeah.
And here's the killer part. They're really pushing, you know, they've said everything they do from now on is going to have some sort of a gay, transvestite, overtone thing in it, a character in it. And from a business point of view, I could at least understand it if that was the majority of their, you know, the people who watch their shows. But the majority are family people. The majority of those are probably Christian or at least religious-based people who have families, and yet they're catering to the gay community, which leads me to believe that this has nothing to do with making money or anything else. This is just something that's getting us closer to the end of time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, indeed, indeed. I appreciate your comments on this, Chris, and it's been a progression. But it's like the floodgates have been opened in the last couple of years. It's been kind of the water has been coming through the dike here, but it's going it's at a free flow right now.
I don't see how anybody can't see that. I got to be honest.
Yeah. Great point.
You know, but thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Indeed, some are asleep and just ignorant of the times in which we live. Midway, Florida, Mac, you're on the air.
Hello, Brother Jim. Thank you for this very timely topic today. You know, I remember when I had my Silverado, I had a new Silverado. I put on my bumper sticker, Marriage is One Man and One Woman. It was from D. James Kennedy here in Florida, as a matter of fact. And I couldn't believe, this was back in 2005, when I took all the flack on account of this one little bumper sticker.
Wow.
And now it's never more true than ever. I've still got the truck, and I don't take any flack on it anymore. But like your previous caller said, it's just incredible that people don't see what's happening.
Yeah.
It's like the walking dead. And you know, there are a lot of great commentators who have said that, you know, that you know, it sure is a whole lot easier to cool off a zealot than it is to, you know, to warm up a corpse. And that seems to be like that's what we've got going on in our country now.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
It really is shocking. And when we know that, I mean, the mantra of before was, you're not tolerant, you're not tolerant. You know, we reject you, you're not, before you're intolerance. Well, what about their being tolerant of Christian values and moral values?
Yeah,
you see,
yeah, exactly.
It works both ways, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, it's sad. It's a sad reality. I went to Orlando amusement parks once when my son was 17, and we enjoyed ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And now I wouldn't set foot down there.
It's
crazy.
Yeah, the agenda has really changed remarkably here over the last several years. Thank you for the call.
Oh, God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Scott is next. Conneaut, Ohio, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the program. I was just sweeping my floor because my mother said if I had a clean floor, I'd be a good housekeeper. But I was reminded of David and Goliath, and they're defying the armies of the living God. And I thank God for Miss Alice, who prays and speaks the word of God in truth. And I just want to say that I myself, in the faith I have in the Almighty, and his battle is his, I come against that in the name of the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heaven. And I pray because two of you will agree in the earth as touching anything that you ask of God, he would do it. And that makes his battle. And we need him now.
Amen. We do need him, Scott. And
enough is enough.
Thank you for sharing your passion with us here today. Are we going to wake up? Are we going to wake up? And friends, I'm not just talking about our society, secular society. I'm talking about our Christian homes, our Christian families, our Christian churches today. Are they going to wake up to the matters that are confronting us here as a nation? Tony in Neillsville, you're on the air.
Hi, I want to tell you thank you that I could get on. And my call was about the Walt Disney. And I have many Walt Disney movies, but all of mine are from the late 60s and early 70s when Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn were teenagers and they were fit to watch, and there wasn't garbage like this in them now. So Disney's not all bad. You just sometimes have to turn back the chapter to the old book,
yeah,
when how it was when right after Mr. Walt Disney passed away.
Yeah, that sadly, that the era for many is gone with many of the things that they saw previous. And I know that some could go back and find certain things in some of those classics, but there's a remarkable change, a change of direction that has been taken that has really been an assault against moral values, family values, biblical values, and we need to be alert to that here.
Good movies then. They were hilarious and funny, like watching Gilligan's Island.
Thank you for your thoughts. Let's go to Jude next in Linden Station. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to say, first of all, God bless all of your listeners. May God's light remove the blinders from everybody's eyes. And I wanted to comment that I am for free speech, and if the library can do this for them, then they also should be doing that for us Christians. And another thing is a good point to think of. All the families that are attending these things, it's a good warning for other people to keep their children from playing with them because they have such a world view.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts on here. And I think certainly the aspect of the matter, do we want poison running into the system? And that's something that we need to look at. And certainly, as Scripture talks about, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, you know, that poison is getting into the system, and many are being impacted by it, not just the consumer of it, but those around them as well. Kevin and Saxon, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Great show as usual. Listen, I got a suggestion for everybody with this Disney thing. I heard the one caller that said back in the day when Walt was alive, Disney was still good, so on and so forth. I would suggest to people do a deep dive on Walt himself, and I think you'll be shocked. But as far as what they're doing, and I brought my kids up on Disney years ago, right? I think what everybody should do, pack up any DVD, pack up any movie you got, pack up anything that came from Disney, and ship it to them. Let's not stand on it. We're against what they're doing. This is wrong. Pack everything up and ship it back to them.
Okay. Thanks for your thoughts, Kevin.
Either. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Barry is next in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. You know, all this nonsense that the devil is trying to push down our throats, you know, the church and people, we need to stand up and be militant against it. But you know what? You know, I've mentioned this before on here, but where this all starts, it all starts in the church. Perversion, when the gospel has been perverted and changed into something it's not, you have a perverted people. The product of that is a perversion, perverted people. Paul writes about it in Romans 1. He said, this is why we have men with men and women with women. I don't need to preach a sermon, but you know, it started in the church, and that's the only thing that's going to change it is the church. So we have to get back to business with God. We need to be militant against everything we can every time the devil shows his head. But we need to get to business because it's only God's people that are going to be able to get back to business with God to be able to change this thing. That's it.
Thank you for the call. And I think of what God gave to Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. And that's what we need, Barry.
Yeah, he's not talking to the people in the world or the government or the sinners. He's talking to the church.
Yeah, it was talking to Israel directly in that passage, but there is great application
but, yeah,
for us.
Correlation, we correlate right. That with the church and, you know, God's people.
Yeah, well, they're two. Israel is distinct from the church, but there's direct. I agree. There's direct application for the church here today. Thank you so much for your thoughts. Appreciate it. Let's go to Christine next, Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
You know, I hate to sound negative, but when you comment on the fact that the church is the one who are supposed to be taking the lead, and we are so beyond asleep, and even to encourage each other to give the gospel. And I think the woeful statistics are 2-3% of Christians will give the gospel. Because you know what it comes down to? We love the world. We want to be like the world. We want to be like the fear of man. And it's just, it's a travesty.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anymore how people are going to care enough to, in their own backyard, give the only hope for mankind. And that's, I don't know, Jim, but I thank you for your clarion call again.
Thank you, Christine. And again, I'm reminded another scripture as you spoke to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the Bible tells us. But if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then that, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, not of the Father, but is of the world. And there does need to be a separation, Christine. Thanks. Thanks for the call. Elizabeth in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, let us remember who the enemy is of these precious souls, the LGBT and Q and the drag queens, and that he has them so deceived, but God is able to help them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Indeed. And we must not forget that, because even as Jesus told individuals who were trying to trip him up and to foist these religious rules and say, you're of your father, the devil. You're the father, the devil, and we need to recognize who it is giving direction in that regard. But certainly our eyes, that of the believers, need to be on Jesus Christ and to live our lives in a way that is honoring to him and pleasing to him. We're much more concerned about pleasing the flesh than we are pleasing the Father. Shame on us. We've got a quick break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk and back in just 1 minute on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Over the last 2 years, I have had the privilege of interviewing three men that were all prisoners of war at what they called the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. All of these men went under incredible torture and persecution. Why? Because they refused to comply with the communists. They refused to write propaganda. They refused to go on camera and give propaganda. They refused to cooperate with the communists. They resisted. How many of us in America today are cooperating with the communists, either by self-censorship, what we're not willing to say anymore, or by literally turning over our treasured institutions to them? Americans must learn from the prisoners of war of the Vietnam War that resisted and were involved in leadership, communication, organization, and resistance.
Welcome back to Crosstalk here on VCY America. And again, those of you who are looking for our guest here today, Barbara Lo Fisher, we'll seek to reconnect with her at a future time, but certainly addressing many of the issues that are impacting us. Certainly the war against the family today, war against children, war against traditional values, family values, biblical values, moral values, is very much afoot, and it's happening before our very eyes. Let's see, holding the longest is Bill in Conneaut, Ohio. Hi, Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, God bless you for your outreach. My comment follows up here with what we just heard about Vietnam. As in 62, when Khrushchev declared war on America with the 45 goals of the Communist Party.
Oh, yes.
And we've been cooking the frog in the pot for 60 years now. Bit by bit, they are taking away from us what our country and what the Lord has planned for this country. So it's very disturbing. I lived in numerous families by the time I was 10 years old, so mm-hmm. I kind of saw it as I looked back on all that stuff and how dangerous it is. When parents don't realize and don't fight for their children.
Thank you for the call here today. And let me just mention, Bill Federer has put together just a powerful book on this matter of socialism. And I'm looking at some of these communist goals that were laid out. And here it is, like, get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda, soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks. Here's another, and that is continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression, like eliminating sculpture from parks and buildings. They also have one here, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Here is number communist goal number 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Folks, it's happening right before our very eyes. Let's go to Sue next in Zanesville, Ohio. Hi, Sue, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much. I enjoy your show thoroughly and your fight against this. The indoctrination of our children is sick. And I, like many, I used to love Disney, and I've took my kids there until the Lord showed me, and I see, and I want to thank that gentleman for calling in and saying how Walt Disney was. He was a sick man behind the scenes, and there's stuff that has gone on that people don't even know about. And if we do our homework, we will see the subliminal messages have been there all along. I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks for the call here today. Holly is next in Wisconsin. Hi, Holly. You're on the air.
Thank you again for this program, Jim. I just wanted to say I recently had a conversation with a man who was a German Baptist. And for those of your listeners that don't know, you know, they're like Amish, but they drive vehicles. And they also, but they don't use the radio, and they're not allowed to watch TV, depending on how strict their faith is.
Okay, just to clarify, you said Anabaptist?
No, he's German Baptist.
German Baptist, okay.
Was, yep. And so he said, you know, he has 12 kids, and when the older ones were littler, they were much more strict, but as they've gone on, they've kind of laxed up on their rules. And he said, I let my kids watch pre-approved movies and listen to the radio. And he says, and if I could go back, I wouldn't do it again. Because it's, even with that
strict monitoring. There's just so many things that are subliminal and incremental. And I see that with my kids, who I took a stance on 12 years ago. They're so different from their peers. And so I just want to encourage people who have young kids or grandkids, just be vigilant about that. Even if the world tells you, you're being too much of a stickler, and oh, you got to let them live a little, because they've got to be prepared for war times. And these are spiritual war times that they are facing.
Yeah. There is very much a battle that's before us. And thank you for your comments here, Holly.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Brian next in Oregon. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Thank you very much for taking my call. And can you hear me okay?
Yep, you're doing well.
Thank you. I'd just like to say we're getting a lot of really good information from your show today. It's real clear how many people could be going to libraries, have Bible studies, church sessions, or anything they can think of, and spend a lot of time in our local libraries, seeing to it that we flood these places with the love of Jesus and the Bible and the Word. And I'd also like to say, for the poor people that are stuck in so many positions of employment where people like Disney are just making our lives seem so far away from anything to do with God, if we're stuck in any of the theatrical or any of it, I just want to say that just like in Nineveh, we know that you Christians are out there, you real believers in God are there, and you're stuck, and we're praying for you, and we're praying for all of us to be able to see this clarity. Please open your eyes. Thank you very much, Jim, for your show.
Thank you, Brian. We have Ann from Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air, Ann.
Yes, quickly. Christians spend a lot of time denying Christ, just like Peter. And in small talk, in meeting anyone, and in this, these are the last days, in my opinion. And birth pangs, as you said, Jim, it's no longer a trickle. It's no longer a little bit of water. We're being flooded. And the flood is going to increase to tsunami levels. But Christians, just out loud, having dinner with someone will not lift up the name of Jesus. That is a big problem in my book. And now more than ever, there shouldn't be one person that you cross paths with. And I'm not talking about a Bible banger. I'm talking about listening to the Holy Spirit, knowing when that still small voice says, lift my name up, fertilize this ground. And we don't do it. Last night I was at dinner. A woman said, well, I'm spiritual. And at the end of when we were leaving, I said, well, you said you were spiritual, but I got to tell you, I lift up the name of Jesus. I know who he is. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And she suddenly waved both her hands. She said, I do believe in Jesus. I just said spiritual.
Hmm.
I rest my case.
Yeah, yeah. We must proclaim the message, and so often we want to cower away from it, and we can't do that. The world is very proud and boastful of its message of secularism and anti-God and pro-immorality. Can't we say, stand up for the name of Jesus?
Can I say one quick thing, too? Chuck Messler once said, I'd like to
hear what you have to say, but our closing music has already begun, and so I apologize for that, and to other people that are also on hold. We've just simply run out of time, and kind of an impromptu here program today, but to one of great information and great meaning today on the broadcast. And folks, we got to certainly be on guard, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let's stay alert. Let's share the good news. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.